The Hello Careers podcast explores a system developed to align business needs with education and training. It's proven to be invaluable for dozens of businesses and people looking to create a new life for themselves. We are firm believers that you must screen for attitude and train for aptitude. We're unpacking our insight to help you build partnerships and earn public support for an age-old way of learning a skill, apprenticeship. We'll address issues such as, where there's a skills gap, is there an education and training gap? How do you respond to a tight labor market? What happens when the major employer pulls out of your community? If you're looking to create an apprenticeship program or curious about what to do next, this show could be just the thing you've been looking for. I'm your host, Mark Sylvester. Now, let's get started and talk with the team. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. Michael, Dan, as we were talking in our last episode, we were talking about the benefits of the overall program. But a huge part of the work is building these partnerships, right? So what I thought we'd do is the next couple of episodes, I want to talk about that. Because that's, it's obvious when you hear it, but the actually how you do it. Let's take a deep dive on that. And I would like to start with business partners who are the potential employers. That's the customer. Let's start with the customer. So, Dan, you bring this wealth of business experience with you, and also as the entrepreneur in residence here at the incubator here in San Luis Obispo. And we've already heard how you went about finding these people. Tell me how you got them from a person who's aware of the program and said, yes, let's have that meeting, to turning them into a partner. And we have some time, so I want to hear all the individual bits.
So what I did was pretty simple initially. I figured out the companies to target, and I sent a LinkedIn request. And I looked at who would respond to my LinkedIn request. And I mentioned in an earlier episode the idea about feed hungry fish. You know, spend time with the people that have at least the number of interest that they'll at least respond to a LinkedIn request. And then I take it to the next step. Once they've done that, I said, hey, I'd like to talk with you more about what we're doing. But I think you can't assume it's make or break if you get company A or company B or company C. It's an abundance mentality. There's plenty of companies. There's plenty. But you really say from each. You have to speak it from a position of power. You want to be part of this. Because these are going to be the kind of people that if you're not part of it, you're really going to feel like you missed out on something.
Notice how Dan said he wasn't selling them something. He didn't come there with a predetermined answer.
Yeah, I think that's key.
There was something in the last episode that I made a note of but didn't bring up till now, but it's what is we now call FOMO, right? It's the fear of missing out. And so you were you explicitly trying to create that, or you found that evolved?
I think it's different on the IT side, because we had two, for our first cohort, we had two areas, IT, networking/security, and software testing. Two very different conversations with employers. On the IT security and networking, these are people that they're already able to find locally. And our real value proposition is getting these people who have certifications, not just classwork, but also have that attitude. Have that screening process that these are the top 4% of all the people interested in the county. Employers love hearing that, but they don't want.
Who are the top 4%?
The people who made our program. When you do the math of 940 down to what, it's single digit percent of the interested people who ended up in apprenticeship here.
So it's cream of the top.
But that's what the employers want to hear. What they don't want to hear is we had 10 openings and 13 people applied.
Back to the abundance.
Yeah. And so I think what they want to hear is these are people, and the videos were key.
Videos.
Because we did a video for each of the people. One other step. Let me take a step back. When we started with 940, we didn't immediately pick our apprentices. We took the top 50 of the 940, and then 8 weeks later, we picked the top 30 of the top 50.
I'll correct you on one thing. 940 screened through as many as possible. There was a portion of the 940 that they came in so late at the end of the application process, it wasn't feasible to give them a shot.
Right.
We got it boiled down to 100 people that we really wanted to have a face-to-face interview with.
Yeah.
And that was after a lot of phone calls. So out of the 100, we then selected 50 that we wanted to place a bet on. Out of the 50, we did 8 weeks of what we call pre-apprenticeship, where we just did one certification called A-plus certifications, the most foundational and basic of all the IT certifications. It's sort of a crash course on, do you know hardware? Do you know basic software? Can you do some basic help desk kind of stuff? And that showed us whether they had some aptitude for further training. Then we picked 30, of which we bifurcated between those who wanted to go towards IT, and I stress that point of they wanted to go towards IT,
right.
They wanted to go towards software testing and possibly development.
That's a great point. I mean, having that interim stage of the 940 down to 100, you know, figuring out face-to-face who are the top 50 based on interviewing 100 of them.
And then taking people who really, many of them did not have a background in tech, and exposing them to tech and allowing them to make that choice of which did they feel more passionate about, hardware versus software.
Where's the video come in?
So we videotaped all the 50 people in that 8-week training
class.
So
individual?
Yeah, one at a time. It was basically their personal value prop.
It was part of our soft skills training that we yep. wanted to make sure they all had, that yep. they had a story yep. they were able to tell, and they yep. were able to brand themselves towards the company.
If you go to YouTube, IT Ready San Luis Obispo, you'll see them.
Really? Those
yeah,
are all
still there. Yeah.
So I just had a business idea. There is now a cottage industry for video to teach people how to be one of the 100. Right? Like if you want to be one of the 100, here's a video that, or a class, maybe there's a class that they go take to learn how to get to that. I mean, again, the person who would actually take that class, that is actually a qualifier.
Well, they're proactive.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So of those 940, I don't want to create more problems for you, but if they were trained, if they at least had a half hour, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're looking for. Go watch these videos. These are the things you want to be ready to do.
The videos were key because after I got the dialogue started, I said, here's an example of three videos to watch. And then when they watched the three, they said, okay, you got me. Because it wasn't about me. It was, I'm just showing these amazing people that they normally wouldn't have applied to their job. And then they're saying, now let's talk more.
And the apprentices really told their story of
sure.
what their journey was, that we had given them, you know, we'd put them through the paces. We had really given them a challenge to overcome. And so they were able to present themselves as motivated problem solvers.
Were the videos of the 100 or the 50?
50.
50.
Of the 50 that you placed the bet on. So, no, I love this because I want to know of the 27 who made it through and who are now 3.5 months in, I would love to have them watch their video and
yeah.
tell me, like, because it's going to feel like it was forever ago that they did that video, and they're going to look
that's
and
true.
Go, huh, that's interesting. I think it would be interesting, just saying, to go talk to those 27 and do another video.
I think what will be great is we'll be able to talk to some of those 27 in a future
right.
podcast.
Right. Let's do that. Let's have them on the show. And what we'll do is we'll post their video in the show so someone could see what that was. Because as I said earlier, success leaves clues, right? And you can tell you, and your eyes have gotten even better at figuring out what does the right attitude look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Because the employer partners, is who we're talking about, are looking to you to deliver quality product, which is these students, right? And so it's almost like you have this superpower skill that you've developed just because you've done it so many times. What we want to do is teach people how to do that who may not normally have done that in the past. So that's what the show is about. Like, so we'll show them some of the videos. And it also dawned on me that the 20 that you didn't put a bet on still got a certification, didn't they?
Yeah, and they still had an entry into tech. It was just a different level of additional training.
Do they get dibs on another cohort?
They can apply for the next time, but it's all competitive.
Oh, no, I know. I got that.
Yeah. Oh, sure they can.
Kind of like American Idol, who, they said they kept going 7 years and they finally
made it onto the stage. Well, I think that's what the employers want to hear, that we've done this initial filtering. Yes. They don't need to, because they're not confident that they're good at that.
Yeah, it's definitely each one of those 50 that was the start of their hero's journey. Each one of them. And I love that you want to go and talk to the apprentices where they are now, because they're at another chapter of that hero's journey.
Absolutely. And as staying with Joseph Campbell, go look it up. We'll put a link in the show notes to Hero's Journey. We know that our hero gets tapped on the shoulder, and someone tapped him and said, hey, there's this program that could change your life.
Yep.
And they took the challenge. They went on the journey. They went and encountered a dragon. So now I want to know, who is the dragon in this journey for them? And its steep learning curve was one of the dragons. All new stuff is another one of the dragons. That might be the first time I've actually worked in an office is another one of the dragons.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's, as this grows, we're going to find there's some new audiences for us. Like, how do I get from 900 to the 100 to the 50 to the 30? What is that going to take? And those are the kind of skills that are going to help them be very successful in these careers, because they're not going to stay at this entry-level job. You've picked winners. They're just starting off, but you've given them this a ticket to tech is perfect, right? We've got a ticket. Now they're going to parlay that up the food chain. So it feels like this narrative is something that the business owner or the person you're dealing with at the business, this is just like, oh my gosh, this is too good to be true.
I think for the business owner, they really say that after the honeymoon period of a couple of months goes by. Because when the businesses are the most excited is they said, we put person X through the paces and they were amazing. That's the key. Because when you ask people too early in the process, you don't have enough data to say.
Right.
And so I think the bragging occurs around month three.
So we talked in another episode that the training doesn't stop, certification stop, but then it's OJT or on-the-job training. Tell me about that.
So what's really important in an apprenticeship model is that you have a journeyman or their mentor, and you have the apprentice. So that guidance of the person whose job they're trying to get enough experience to be placed at is really, that's the secret of apprenticeship, is that you're training someone under a mentor to get to a certain skill. We know these people are not yet completely prepared. They're prepared enough that they're not going to do damage.
Right.
And that they've proven themselves that they're trainable and they're eager to learn. So now we're giving them that opportunity to have that on the job training, because there's only so much you can learn out of a book, on a website, or in a classroom.
So this is then also part of what the partner has to invest.
Yes. What was great is one of the really forward-looking IT companies, when I brought him up to speed with what we're doing, he says, Dan, I have my four journeymen. When can I get my four? He said, I got my three journeymen. When can I get my three apprentices? But he started from thinking who his journeyman would be.
So that's a good thing to listener, pay attention. They want to start figuring out who the journeyman or mentor is going to be. Do you have any guidance for them? Did you talk to them about that?
Yeah. We recommended that one journeyman not take on more than three apprentices, that would be the maximum ratio. Ideally, a one-to-one, if that's the type of culture you have. So it really is up to the company to think about how big are their teams, what's their work style, and a 3-to-1 ratio of one journeyman to three apprentices would be our maximum, that we wouldn't want to go further than that.
We had a key learning, though, on this, is one of the companies has three apprentices, and they said it's actually less overhead than having two, because they said the apprentices with each other get answers to their questions. And she was surprised that it's actually better to get a larger group because it's less overhead, because they don't depend on the journeyman as much.
Right. And you didn't realize that going in?
No, she thought it was going to be, it's going to be a huge overhead for the journeyman. And they realized at some point it actually went down, the demand on the journeyman.
I want to talk to a journeyman. When we do an episode with this person in the first part of their career, I want to talk to the journeyman at the same time.
We'll do that that exact journeyman who had the three.
Great.
That's what Clever does.
I think that's going to be really key.
Yeah.
Because part of what you're doing is mitigating risk.
Yep.
Everywhere you can, right? I also think about it as reducing friction, mm-hmm. right? And so that is a key piece. Now, you know, the thing I found in being a mentor is, I call it reverse mentoring, right? Is what I learned from the mentee. And so there's a value add for that person that I'd like to get us to be able to articulate that, because mm-hmm. that's another, I'm thinking in a workplace where it says, okay, guess what? And we've got these three new hires starting on Monday and you're in charge. Oh, come on, boss. Yes, but watch this video or listen to this episode of Hello Careers, and you're going to be surprised at how beneficial it's going to be for you personally.
I think the big learning is too many of the companies are used to interns.
Yes.
And interns are part-time, still going to school, and to some degree, they're kind of just getting some exposure to industries, you know. With apprentices, these are people who are already bought in and really are trying to add as much value as soon as possible, because they're on their career now.
Right.
They're not in the testing the waters phase.
Right. Yeah.
An internship's for the benefit of the intern, really. And the company's doing them a favor. And they're hoping they might be able to flip it and find somebody that seems to fit and offer them an opportunity. An apprentice, however, is an employee, but you're giving them the experience to become a better employee.
And they've also self-selected by going through a pretty rigorous process to get to the class, then do the pre-class, then do the class. And they had to actually pass the class. Yeah. It wasn't an automatic.
There was gates along the way. But that's
and
exactly
be selected by the business yep. that they wanted to be brought on board.
Because the business didn't pull from, I want three people, like they would do from a temp agency. Now, the businesses by name said, I want you, but so does three other businesses. And then the apprentice says, okay, I want company two because.
Yeah, I'm just imagining that I didn't know about the videos. So now that I know what those videos are, being able to look at those and say, you know, it's a seller's market here, right? And that's a wonderful place to be in when you have that product, right? Because now I'm thinking the businesses, because from a sustainability point of view, as you said earlier, Michael, the product had to be amazing, right? From a premium brand point of view, they had to be great.
Early on, we took a lesson from one of the other grant winners up in Silicon Valley, that they went elephant hunting and they had Cisco and Symantec as their employer partners, and they had determined they wanted to have, I think it was 15 or 20 apprentices between them. So they opened their supply where they just found 15 to 20 at their local community college that wanted to participate in this program. But when it came time to actually place them into the on-the-job training, there was a hiring freeze at Symantec and Cisco.
Oh, no.
And so they were scrambling to find partners to place those apprentices at. So that was when we heard that lesson, and it was great. Michael Burnick, he writes a column monthly for Forbes, and he did a great article on that major challenge in getting apprentices up and running. And we went, aha, there's our lesson learned. And Dan and I looked at each other and said, we want one apprentice for one employer for each apprentice so that we're not stuck waiting for some, you know, if somebody doesn't want to work with us, what are we going to do?
It's icing on the cake if we have more than one.
And that's a lesson across all worlds, right? We don't want to be dependent on one revenue stream in a business.
Yeah.
We don't want to have one client. We want to have
multiple
many
streams.
Same in investing, right? That's what diversified investing is about. I'm not going to invest in one company. I'm going to diversify my portfolio. So it's a similar kind of thinking.
What you just said in investing triggered something to me is, you know, part of what I spend my time on is building up startups. And to me, the analogy to investing is startups are like high risk stocks.
Yep.
And what we're doing with apprenticeship is bonds.
Huh.
They're safe bets.
Oh.
And, you know, when you're thinking about economic development, you want to have a balanced strategy that you're not all bonds and you're not all high-risk stocks. Because you don't, 9 out of 10 startups don't make it. But when one does, it's giant. So you want to play that. And what's exciting for me is I'm still able to be on both sides, which I think is what the local economies want. Don't overbet on one or the other. Do both.
So let's vector now over to where I find the business partners. Now, you had said you went to LinkedIn. You had a premium LinkedIn account.
I did.
You did, you know, you figured out how to get your keywords down and find exactly what you wanted. Let's talk about the other places you could go in and recruit partners. So what was the conversation at the Chamber of Commerce like?
So the Chamber of Commerce, we were able to reach out to their members who maybe were looking to expand or were looking to hire new talent. And so it was more a business person talking to a business person. So the Chamber's members asking their own Chamber's members whether they'd like to participate. Going to the Economic Vitality Corporation, which has its own boards by sector, and having referrals and introductions to Dan to have that conversation as to whether they might be a good partner. Because I think it's both sides interviewing each other to see whether this is a good partnership.
Well, the dance, right? You said earlier, right?
Dance.
Did you do, let's call it a lunch and learn, did you go do presentations to these groups or were they one-on-ones?
It was one-on-one. We didn't really do that. That was one of our strategies that we discussed, and we ended up not having to do it, that the individual one-on-ones worked a lot better. And then there was also just working out of the hothouse. It's a co-working space as well as it has startups. And so we were able to identify some of the startup companies that were looking for talent, and this seemed just like a perfect opportunity for them. And that's really, I think, a unique partnership right there of connecting startups and founders who are looking to expand with apprentices looking for experience. I think that the willingness to take on risk on both sides of there is a lot more accepting of a culture there, of accepting a risk.
I love that, because a couple of the startups that we have apprentices, they've both closed over $1 million in funding. They're in the 10% that are going to make it. But those apprentices now have stock in a company that's
on an
upward
vector. That's the first
thing
I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
And so that was part of the reason they pitched. Come work for us because this is our vector. And then those startups with $1 million in funding were able to be picky. But some people said, some of the apprentices said, I want to go to a more established company because I'll get more mentoring. And other ones said, not me. I want to be the one who decides how they do software testing or how they do IT and be on the ground floor. It takes a confidence for someone to jump in to say, I'm going to define the system.
Which is one of the things you probably screen for. I'm going to guess, I call it ego strength. Others call it confidence, certainty, those kinds of things.
And it takes all kinds, because I think some of the companies, some of the larger companies, I can just see who puts that at the top of their list versus the middle of the list.
So you had said, we're not going for whales or elephants. We're going to go for that 50 person and under. Yet in a startup, it's two people and under or three people and under.
Well, the two that we had that had the million in funding were already at the 15 level.
Okay. So, but still that's small.
Right. And so our, one of the startups, very quickly, our apprentices had amazing titles because they were early stage. They were right. Director of IT. They were director of customer experience, and they're apprentices.
Wow. Wow. So, and you know what? I'm sure they fill those shoes nicely.
Well,
and
they were the perfect fit for it.
Right.
Because a lot of what we did is we played match.com between apprentices and employers because it was worth the time to say, if we maximize how happy both sides are, everyone wins. So we didn't force anything in terms of matches because it would hurt us over the long term if both sides weren't so excited about their placement.
And you, again, it's back to this job versus career thing. If it's a job, I know there's going to be turnover. If it's a career, there's a pretty good chance, even though it's their first high-paying job, it's a new job, I don't want turn because that employee cost, that onboarding cost, all of that's really expensive. So that's another risk you've taken out of the equation, right? Because you've said, you know, chances are they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, it's a red flag to think, oh, I'll bring this person on, but I don't really want him at the end. That's a red flag. Why would we place someone with that company?
Wow, if I heard an employee, did you have any employer say that?
Part of it was when we went through the type of skills they wanted. It's like, no, this isn't a temp. Because some of the people
right.
that I initially talked with, I'm used to as an entrepreneur that you're going to get no's. So I would say like half of the companies I reached out to didn't get it. And that was fine because their frame of reference was more, oh, I already have temps doing that job. And I said, no, this isn't temps. But you just go through this process of saying, now that I know what you need, I think there's four people who would be great because I know what you need.
I'm guessing that the next batch of businesses you go for, and I've got to imagine now that there's a long line of businesses that want to get into the program, and the more that this gets publicized, that's not going to be that prospecting you had to do, you won't have to do as much.
Well, the bigger companies will come on in the fold now because I didn't spend too much time on the bigger companies because once they see that it works, they're more willing to come online, and that's fine.
And I think if they listen to this episode, this distinction between intern and apprentice, and that's a mindset shift for them because we don't really have apprentice models. I mean, it's not widespread in these areas. That's the whole point, right?
Yes, exactly. It's defining and figuring out how do you create an apprenticeship model in an area there has never been one. That there's really only been an internship model.
Right, right. And it's someone who's there for Easter break or summer break, and they're testing you, see, do I want this kind of job? Because my dad knew the CEO and he could get me in.
No one wants to be assigned with, I'm overseeing three interns. I think what we're finding is overseeing three apprentices is actually rewarding for both sides.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Where else might someone go, because we've talked about chambers, we've talked about going to the economic development person, we've talked about going to workforce development. I'm thinking, again, someone in a more rural community. Who are they going to go talk to build these business partnerships?
Well, you can always go and see if there's any meetups or things like that. Developers, people in the tech industry are they're pretty good about finding people with like interests and things like that. So there may be some type of a meetup. Maybe it's a Linux-based meetup. Maybe it's other type of specific coding language or type of application. So you can start attending those meetups and finding out what are these people talking about? What are their needs? What are their desires? What are their hopes? What are their fears?
That's a great point. I mean, in San Luis Obispo, there's a group called SoftTech, which is all the software-related companies. They did a one-off for us also.
When you say one-off?
They sent an email to all of their members just about what we were doing with apprenticeship and take it into tech. So it wasn't us talking. It was SoftTech, almost affiliate marketing. They were sticking their neck out for us.
And that's where if you find one or two business partners that are talking to you, you ask them, who else should I talk to about this? Are there other businesses or other leaders that would be interested in this? Referral is key. And having a business-to-business referral is so much, it's better than a cold call. But that's also where Dan's not afraid of those cold calls and going in and talking to businesses.
To start it up.
And the range of businesses that we thought we were going to go to, between IT and traditional developers, we actually had a couple of advanced manufacturers that needed software testers. So it just shows how ubiquitous tech is and how you need these types of motivated problem solvers with these types of skills that we're looking at across a number of different industries. We have a bank that we're working with, and we have an advanced manufacturing company. We have two school districts that needed this kind of support. So there's a real range from startups to school districts to banks and advanced manufacturing. There's quite a range of businesses that you're able to work with if you identify some common skills that they all need.
I think also we strategically realized we wanted to have at least one bank. We wanted to have at least one school district.
Right.
We wanted
to
have at least one utility because it gave us credibility. This is real.
I'm looking forward to a meeting where you have all of them together and we do it, because you're checking in two times a month, but it would be interesting to, there's a cohort of the students, there's also a cohort of the employers, right? That would be interesting to learn from them and what's worked and what's not worked in, because you've spent so much time building a partnership, building a relationship with them. They want to see this program get better. And so the things that they've learned. So there's probably some more interviews in your future.
Oh, yes. What we're having is a progressive dinner. Just one for the IT side and one for the software testing side. And it's to really congratulate them on the success. Everyone has a job. But what we're doing at the tables is we're having companies who currently don't have an apprentice and people from the political side, people from Chamber of Commerce. And then for each course, they actually interact with the apprentices. And then we have a video shown of the voice of an employer between each course of the meal. But what it is then they actually directly, not just through a video, but through dialogue, say, I need to get more people like this, because it's relationship.
When we talked about marketing, we talked about earned media and word of mouth, and it feels like that's a common thread in how this has worked so well, is the word of mouth, people talking to one another. Guys, we're at the end of this episode, and I appreciate having a chance to dig into how we build the business partners, what it looks like for them, what the value is continuing, and we're going to keep hitting that value. Our next episode, what I want to do is I want to talk about working with educational partners. Thanks, guys.
The Hello Careers podcast explores a system developed to align business needs with education and training. It's proven to be invaluable for dozens of businesses and people looking to create a new life for themselves. We are firm believers that you must screen for attitude and train for aptitude. We're unpacking our insight to help you build partnerships and earn public support for an age-old way of learning a skill, apprenticeship. We'll address issues such as, where there's a skills gap, is there an education and training gap? How do you respond to a tight labor market? What happens when the major employer pulls out of your community? If you're looking to create an apprenticeship program or curious about what to do next, this show could be just the thing you've been looking for. I'm your host, Mark Sylvester. Now, let's get started and talk with the team.